live on Discovery Paranormal. First, we have to say happy Mardi Gras. Mardi Gras, today's Fat Tuesday. Everybody's out there in New Orleans partying down, having a good time. And on tonight's show, we have David DeCorey. David, we've had you on the show before a couple times already, three times, I think, right? Something like that. And maybe twice.
Two or three times.
Yeah, something like that. But so I'll give people the background first. We live locally to one another. I'm in Ithaca. You're in the Ithaca area. And Peter Canellis, who I do investigations with, you know, paranormal investigations. We go out and check stuff out and do our thing. You know, we met you, I think, 8 years ago or something like that. It was a long time ago, 7 or 8 years ago, right?
Yeah,
around there.
Nine.
Yeah. So we're going back a little bit. And you had all this stuff going on. I think, I mean, initially, Pete told me that you had these apparitions in your apartments, and he had put a ghost camera there for a little while, and he caught these, like, shadow figures traveling around, you know, and even one, like, looking like she was wearing a gown type of thing, you know, but a whole bunch of stuff. So we actually came in, did the investigation, and we contacted a guy that you knew had committed suicide, and then he was kind of trying to get you a message. And it was also around the holidays, and your grandmother was around. We picked her up and a few other people, even your cat, Solo Meow, right?
Oh, yeah.
Cat.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, the cat was around. But, I mean, at that time, you were really, like wrecked, man. You were feeling it, and I think that you told me you weren't sleeping, and this stuff was dogging you. And you had two dogs at that time, like you do now, but you had two different dogs. And they were barking at these things in the midair. They were like looking at nothing and barking.
Yeah.
So we came in and resolved that whole thing, and we actually, you know, we had a conversation with a flashlight, basically. It sounds kind of funny, but, you know, we were able to allow one of the spirits there to manipulate the flashlight where it kind of was like giving a message, you know. But, and then also something entered you, and that wasn't good. So you have to run out of there for a little while. And we always say, if you're feeling bad, if you're in an investigation, or if you're feeling like something's changed for you, like inside, like, you know, when you're in an investigation, things can be kind of hairy, just get outside, leave, you know, and try to ground yourself. I mean, some psychics actually lay on the ground and roll around to ground themselves. So that was that apartment. We came back there another time because your wires were floating around in your bedroom, and like there was all this stuff going on.
Yeah.
And I have to say, the best evidence we ever got was from your places. I mean, those full body apparitions with a face, eyebrows, that all that was from your place. So I mean, and also the yeah, I mean, still to this day, I've never seen photographs from anybody out there as good. You know. It was just incredible. But so basically, I mean, they're attracted to you, though, because you have the gift, obviously. You have the gift.
Yeah.
And you know what you're feeling. You know, I mean, I've met so many mediums in my life now that just can see them and hear them and all kinds of stuff, and it's fascinating, really. But a lot of bad stuff comes through to you also.
Yeah.
Say. And then you move from that apartment out to the farmhouse.
Yeah. Well,
or was there another place in between?
Yeah, there were two other places in between. One of them wasn't that bad. I felt a lot of good energy there immediately when we moved in. And I later found out that the house was built on the site of an old church. So that was, I knew there was something there before I could feel it. And I knew it was good. Then the other house we moved to, that nasty spirit had followed me. And that's when you guys came with Lorna. Yeah, I think that's the first time I met Lorna, and she basically got rid of that thing. It had physically attacked me then. And then after that, I moved here. So.
Right. So now Pete and I came out at the end of last year. not that long ago, right? It was in October or something like that. Maybe
yeah,
even before that.
Yeah, the second time you came out here.
Right, right. Because we came to the, we did the barn, but we, so, I mean, we came out and then did an investigation. You know, we captured some evidence and stuff, and you told the story about your coffee grinder disappearing and that type of thing, disappearing,
oh, yeah,
and reappearing.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I mean, and even since we've talked, I've done a lot of research into that, into how they can manipulate things and actually physically remove things from that realm. And they have to have a lot of power, a lot of energy. But, I mean, while I was in your living room, with your mom was sitting there, you were there, Pete was there, I thought Pete poked me for a minute. I thought, like, something was going on. So I felt someone poke my arm. And then it turns out he was, like, 6 feet away from me. And I'm like, you didn't poke me, did you? He's like, not at all. And he had his hands full of equipment. So, but your mom seen the man with the hat that's in the living room there.
Right. Yeah, she said he has, like, a mustache. She thought it was me at first, because she turned and looked, and she saw this man standing there, and she thought it was, like, looked something like me, and then it disappeared, and then she realized it wasn't me. I came into the room from upstairs, and she was kind of shocked as to what was going on. But it also, something pushed her, like, it tried to push her off the couch, and she screamed. I mean, she let up a lot. I jumped out of my skin because she screamed so loud. And she said that something lifted her up and tried to push her off the couch.
Right, right. You know what? That video is online at, on YouTube. If you go to youtube.com/discoveryparanormal, you can, all your videos are there, but, the ones that we made anyway. But with that video of her talking about that, on how she got pushed down.
Oh.
And you care, we'll tell people you care for your elderly mother, and then I mean, you have like a lot of full-time jobs in your life, you know what I mean? I think that, and that's awesome that you're there for your mom. I'm the same way, you know? Like, that's family, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, and my stepdad died, and then when he died, I moved my mom in with me, because I didn't want to go to a nursing home, so.
Right, that's cool, man. You know, a lot of people, they don't have that part, so I've always admired that about you. And then, you know what? You're going through a lot of trouble now, though. So, and also, let's add in that your landlord told you before you moved in the place was haunted.
Yeah, he told me after I moved in that the house was built by a doctor in 1850, and that he had his operating room in the house and his office in the house, and a lot of patients would die here, and they would store the patients in the cellar. He told me that after I moved in. And I knew something was here. The first time I came into the house, I could feel the energy. I knew there was something going on.
And there's bad stuff in that house, because Pete knew a guy that grew up in that house. It was a rental or whatever for a short time. And, you know, Pete's about, he's like 50, you know what I mean, 51? Yeah, 50. But
yeah.
So am I. We're all the same age, basically, Pete, anyway. And so think about a guy that he went to school with. So the guy was maybe 7 or 8 years old when he lived there in that house. It was that one room that I kept getting that bugged out feeling from, that was right across from your bedroom, that little room. And then Pete said that's the room the guy stayed in. The guy was so terrified, and to this day he cannot talk about what happened to him in that room, in that house.
I wish he would tell me. Yeah, because now something is bad. There is something bad. It's what's happened in the last few weeks is I'll wake up in the middle of the night, and I can look across the hall from out of my room, and I can see that bedroom, and the light is turned on. And I know for a fact I turn the light off, and I wake up, I see it on, I don't want to go in there. So in the morning when I get up there, and the light's off, and I check the switch, and the switch is in the off position, but that light comes on in the middle of the night by itself.
Wow.
And then that's
the same. What? When I was standing there, and in my peripheral vision, I kept seeing something like peek around that doorway, you know, and it just kept drawing me over there and looking at it and drawing me over. And we didn't get that, but you remember the motion sensor light that we had in the hallway? Because
yeah,
we use motion sensor lights. So these motion sensor lights are awesome. I mean, they detect motion. They don't turn on unless there's motion. But remember that thing went off? Like it turned on anyway, the motion sensor light, and I was like, whoa. So that was like towards the end of the investigation. But that whole hallway, you can feel that. And you said that the press woman walks up and down that hallway.
Yeah, I've seen a woman, and she's like wearing a white dress from like the 1800s. I've seen her walking down the hallway, and then I saw about two, 3 weeks ago, I saw a child in the hallway in the same place I saw the woman walking. I saw a African-American child, maybe 3 or 4 years old, and she was just, the only thing she had on was she had a white, it looked like a cloth diaper or a cloth, something around her waist, some shorts or something, but it was wrapped around her like weird, and she had ponytails in her hair, one on either side. One on the right and one on the left, and she was maybe about, I don't know, 3 feet tall. She's pretty young, but she was twirling around, and then she saw me, and she looked at me, and she waved, and then she disappeared.
Wow. I was going to ask you if she tried to contact you, or had any kind of intelligence.
No, I've avoided it because I think about doing it, but the other thing is that I started one of the other rooms where I have my computer, the room I'm sitting in now, I rearranged everything. I came in, I completely washed the whole room down, the hardwood floors, I scrubbed them, cleaned them good, and moved all the furniture around. And it was right after I started rearranging the room that all this activity started.
That's interesting. And that room is kind of heavy. I mean, that room is heavy. It's not just kind of heavy. It's heavy. You know what I mean?
We were
in that room. Well, that was like the end of our investigation. The whole three of us were kind of just standing in that room in the doorway talking. And that just was... You felt it. You just felt the heaviness, that dankness of that area. And then is that the area where that depressed kind of woman was walking to?
Yeah, well, she came out from that area and stood at my door my bedroom.
Did she look at you?
It's that whole general area, yeah.
Did she look at you?
The little girl did. The woman did not.
Yeah,
the woman did not look at me. She was just walking. And because it used to be, it's now a bathroom, but it used to be a long hallway that went into the other part of the house, and they built a wall of the hallway, and then they put a bathroom there. Because when the house was built, there were no interior bathrooms. Because the house is really old. So they put the bathroom in, and they put it in where it used to be the hallway. And so she'll walk into the bathroom like she's walking down the hall.
Right, right. I wonder if the people on the other side see anything or hear, like even that last person that lived there that started drinking really heavily. I mean, because you can't, it doesn't restrict itself to one side if she's walking the whole hallway, right, going back and forth.
Yeah, the landlord saw her. The landlord saw the same woman in the other side of the house.
There you go.
He saw her. Yeah.
So she's basically walking that whole hall, but yet now there's a bathroom.
Right. It's because it used to be a hallway, and so that's where she's walking, and that's where he saw her. he saw her on the other side of that bathroom.
Wow. I wonder who she is. That place is old, though. I mean, but she could have died there. She could have been one of the people, the many, many people. If it was a doctor's house in temporary morgue back in the 1800s, you know, or from that point on, you know, that's a long time, man. And a farm. It was a farm. So there's a barn out there, farm equipment, fields, that I guess they worked and did the whole bit. So I mean, rich history. You sure can pick them. You know what I mean?
I know, but one of the owners was killed here before. I don't know, 20, 30 years ago or something. He was farming right outside the house, and the tractor rolled him over and killed him.
You see that? That could be the guy with the hat. Yeah, I kind of feel like he is. He's tied to that house in an ownership type of way. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
I also feel like
I don't.
He has that attitude like I don't want people around. You know, but there's a lot
so
of people.
Many different. Yeah,
I'm saying that you have a lot of activity.
Right, a lot. Did you want me to tell you what else happened?
All right, so I'm catching people up to that point. All right, so we came and did the investigation because you said you weren't sleeping and stuff like that, and you said that things calmed down for a little while, like it was okay for a bit.
Right, we did a lot of burning sage with cedar. I did holy water with cedar, burning sage. I cleansed it out, and it felt, you could feel the difference. It felt different. I do tons of holy water. I also practice meditation. I say a lot of positive affirmations. I try to attract only good energies. So I'll say things like, I open myself to all that is good and holy, and I close myself off to all that is evil and undeveloped. And I'll say that a lot and spray the holy water and do the Insta sage. And things have been good. There hasn't been any activity or anything for quite a while. And then all of a sudden, after I started cleaning this room and changing the room around, it all started up again.
Yeah. So what's happening now?
Well, the first thing that happened was that I saw that little girl, the black girl. And then right after that, I went downtown. I go to a counselor to help me with some stuff with my mom. And I was talking to the counselor, and I was sitting in there, and he wanted me to do this meditation. And the second I started the meditation, I could feel an entity come and try to come inside my body. I felt like my head started tilting because they've done that to me before. They try to come inside of me, and they can move my hand and my arm, and sometimes they can move my head when I go into, like, this meditative state. And so I could feel it start to come into me, and my head started to turn around, started to roll, and I stopped it. I'm like, that's it. I ain't doing this. So that was, like, the first thing that happened. And then...
Before you go on, what do you think the source of that is, though? Where do you think they are? Because, I mean, there are entities that can attach themselves to you, but that they usually don't. They usually don't. They usually don't like all the action of energy that's out there, you know, in daily life, in getting in a car and going places and doing all that. I mean, I've heard reports of that happening, but it's pretty rare. But sometimes they can be in a source, a one location, and then like a telephone call, they contact you that way. And they try to connect with you. I've been reading about that lately and talking to people that have experienced that, where one entity can even contact four or five people at the same time.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So what are you feeling about the source? Who do you think that was that was trying to get in?
Good. I'll tell you that it's not good. I can feel that. I don't
Do you
know
think it's
it
that,
is, it
that? I'm not going to say it's, I'm not going to say its name, but there was an entity that was kind of dogging you when we were there, and then that was pushed out of there. He goes by a certain name. I'm not going to say his name because when you do stuff like that, it kind of moves around. Do you think it has anything to do with that?
I think it's a different one because the energy is bad and it doesn't feel the same as that other one, but it's very angry, I'll tell you that. And it's a low energy. It's not good.
Right.
I was sitting in my bed last Saturday night. I'd gone to bed, but I hadn't fallen asleep. I was reading, and I was sitting up, and then all of a sudden, I had both my dogs. See, one of them was like right between my legs, and the other one, they're small dogs, and the other one, my right with me, and I'm reading this book, and then all of a sudden, I hear this. And it was a long, steady growl, and I heard, that's the first time I've heard that growl. And the one that you chased away before had that growl. The very first time that you guys came, there was that growl. I heard it again. And my dog heard it. Every time I hear that growl, my dog hears it.
But you don't think that's like some kind of dog. You think it's some kind of creature.
No.
You describe.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
You describe these furry creatures.
Yes, that I've seen. Yeah. The very first time was when I was getting attacked constantly. My bed was shaking. I mean, my whole bed would be sitting there shaking. And I was completely freaked out. It's the first time I contacted you to come help me because I didn't know what was going on. And I did, I said the St. Michael prayer. And the second I was done, it was the very first time I've ever said that prayer. Right after I said the St. Michael prayer, that's when I heard the growling. And I couldn't
believe
what I was hearing. Yeah, my dog heard it. Huh?
Wow. It's pretty powerful because I've seen mediums, you know, use that and then push these spirits out of people's houses before, you know, in other cases that we've done. Really interesting. So, but you said this thing's clawing at you now from under your bed?
Yes. It was horrifying. So after I heard the growl, I felt an energy. I felt it. It was, the entire was electrified. And I have felt that before. The first time I felt like the whole room was electrified was again right before you came 9 years ago. When Luca killed himself. And you could feel like something arrive. You could feel it like enter the room. And so right after the growling, I felt that energy. All of a sudden, it was like just palpable. You could feel it, and it was like the whole room was electrified. I don't know how else to explain it. And I knew I could feel something that was not good. And I jumped up, and I grabbed my holy water, and I keep right on my bedside table, and I sprinkled that stuff all over the place and talked to God and told it to go away. And actually, it cleared it out that evening. It felt better, and I was actually able to sleep comfortably. I didn't have any more incidents that night.
Uh-huh.
And then, a week later, exactly a week, because this was, what, two nights ago? It was Saturday night. I went to bed. I was having a really hard time falling asleep. I can get insomnia sometimes, especially because of these things that happen. So I was having a hard time falling asleep. The last time I looked at the clock, it was like 4:30 in the morning, and I fell asleep, and I woke up. It was 6:50-something, or it was 6:50-something, because I looked at my clock, and I woke up. It was about 6:54, 55, something like that, and I'm laying there in the bed, awake, And then all of a sudden, I see from behind me, out of the corner of my eye, something moving towards me, and it, like, came and grabbed me from behind, and I could see, I didn't feel it grab me, but I could see, like, these arms, like, coming around me, and it looked somewhat like my sister, which really freaked me out, because we'd gotten a fight, like, about a week ago, and just an argument. And this thing looked like her, and I almost got the impression that whatever it was trying to convince me that it was my sister wanting to attack me. I knew it wasn't her, but that's
because they imitate. I'll tell you, that low energy man, they take on other forms. They imitate people.
Well,
you know, they mock you. You know, we've been mocked on with EVPs. If I say something, an investigation, they'll mock you. They'll say things. Call you names, curse you out. I mean, I've been cursed out, F word, everything you think of, you know, because I'm a character, you know what I mean? But I mean, so that, because that evokes another emotion out of you if you recognize if that Bedelia in your head puts together the face of your sister, that also evokes another, almost like puts your guard down in a weird way because it's somebody that you know. But yet, if they're running at you, you still have that emotion. That's messed up, man.
Yeah, I almost felt like it wanted me to think it was my sister so that it could keep us arguing with each other or something. But I knew it was faking it. And then after it came from behind me, it just vanished. And then the next thing I know,
Wait. Where exactly did this happen in the house?
In my bedroom. It was in my bedroom.
All right.
Right after I woke up. Because I woke up, I looked at the clock, it was like 6:50 something, and I was laying there on my bed on my side, and I saw it coming from behind me out of the corner of my eye, like it was standing up and moved right in, like really quickly. And but as soon as it like came to me, it like disappeared. And then the next thing I know, I'm still laying there on my side, I felt something pushing up into my stomach from under my mattress. My mattress was being pushed up into me.
Wow.
And then I could feel, it's like it has these claws, and I could feel it like clawing at me, at my stomach, while it was pushing up on the mattress, violently, like this clawing at me, extremely violently, with all this rage, and pushing up. I could feel it on my stomach. I felt it. I mean, I got up and looked to see if I had any scratches on me afterwards. I just saw, like, impressions from the bed, so I don't know if anything was, if it did it, but it freaked me out. I mean, I haven't been that scared in a long time. And
What did you do afterwards, though? Like, you put you out of there?
I texted Pete. Because I was so scared. I was like, oh, my God. I'm like, oh, my God. And I wanted to...
Yeah, because then he texted me. He's like, we got to go back to David's. There's a whole bunch of stuff going on.
Yeah, it freaked me out. I didn't leave my room, but... I mean, this stuff happens to me, it has happened to me a lot, and in a way you kind of get used to it, but that one really scared me, and I didn't go downstairs, but I did text Pete. I wanted to put my holy water, splash my holy water around again, but I was out. I didn't have any more. And so is what I started doing was I started praying, and I started saying all those positive affirmations and telling it to go away and to leave. And then I saw I got these curtains. They always mess with the curtains with me. I don't know why they do this, but they do it. And all of a sudden I saw from between the curtains where they come together, it parted. And I saw this brown head start coming out from behind the curtain. And it looked, it took on the impression of my niece when she was like 3 years old. It looked just like her. And she was like laughing at me. She was laughing at me. And
Because they're attacking you. They're trying to break you down. You know what I mean? Like trying to break you down. So just use up all your resources, you know, mentally, physically, in the whole bit, just to break you down. So, but how do you think this happened? I mean, you know, do you think that there's a source in that house? Because we didn't go into the basement. You have it all blocked off. You're freaked out about the basement.
Yeah, I don't go in there. I only go in there if I have to.
What do you think is going on down there?
Well, Lorna, when she came here to make these things go away, she told some of them they could stay in the cellar. And she told them that if they were good people that lived in the house, they could stay in the cellar. She never cleared it out. And I was kind of like, why did you do that? And she's like, well, they're not bad. They just live here. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. I'm like, I don't want them. And so it's never been cleared out. So that's why I'm freaked out with it going down there. But I've never really felt the energy. I always feel is always upstairs usually. And I mean, I felt it downstairs in that back room. I have felt it in the kitchen and in the dining room area. But most of the energy I feel is upstairs that I have felt.
Yeah, with that.
And I think that they just mean,
type of woman.
I think that I, you know, the way that I think about it is that with somebody like me, it's like it's a maintenance thing. Like I got to keep doing the maintenance, and if I don't do the maintenance, they come back. And since I was doing so well for so long, I hadn't staged and done holy water. I mean, I was saying affirmations and praying and stuff and doing some meditation, but I had not done the holy water or the sage. And I think that that stuff, if you're somebody like me where you attract them and they can come to you, you're always open to it. And I think that
they're rooted. I'll tell you this about you know, bad, well, let's just say negative energy, you know. I mean, it's ugly. They're ugly. And they want to hide. They want to stay in a little corner in an attic or, you know, they prefer basements because people rarely go into basements, you know, and they're dark, dank places. They can just kind of, like, lurk around and do their business. They don't like light, bright, nice areas and good energy. Like you told me, you bought that picture of Mother Mary that you felt so strongly about and attached to it. And, you know, I mean, I'm not really religious in any of that, but there's good energy attached to things like that. You know what I mean? And just like holy water, which has, like, holy water in itself is nothing, but it's got good energy attached to it because people put it into it. And I think that kind of faith and then that kind of constancy inside of someone to say, I'm going to bless this water for Jesus Christ, for God, or whatever, that's a big deal, man. And then these negative energies, I mean, there's some that we call unborn that have never really been born, and they're kind of out there. They're just dark masses that are out there. There's all kinds of negative stuff, you know, but there's all kinds of positive stuff. And you know what? It's also training your brain. You know, you ever hear of a technique called anchoring? Anchoring is, all right, let's say you have a really great memory. You know, and in the past, you think of something that was just a short memory, that a time that you were elated, something you feel really good about. And when you feel good about that, like you like make a movie in your head about it, you play some good music to it, and then you like grab your left ear and kind of give it a squeeze. If you do that technique a lot, at a later date when you're experiencing trouble, when you grab your left ear, that memory or that feeling, that elated feeling and that great feeling comes right through you. So there's a lot of things, you know, within, it's called NLP, Neuro-Linguistic Programming. There's a lot of things within that world that helps people. But negative entities, they like people being negative, dude. And then I've been in houses where they've made people fight where people were nice, happy family until they moved into this house. And then, bang, they're fighting all the time. They're angry all the time, screaming, all kinds of terrible things going on. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
In your case, they like you, man. You're liked. You're a likable guy. They want to be with you, or they think they can, you can help them, help pass them on, move them on, you know, because there's a lot of them that are stuck, apparently. But you're in a house where a lot of people died.
Yeah, I have tried to help them move on before, but I know that I need to do more work in that area, but I was choosing for the moment not to develop that, because they all, the bad ones always come through as well. Like whenever I open myself up, I get good ones, I get dead people, and the bad ones. And
but you know what, if you do develop it though, you get the tools to be able to fight stuff off easier. And then also, like look at Lilydale, a whole community of mediums and psychics and people helping one another. I think that if you're in that community and people, you know, people pray for you and they send you good energy. I mean, I do that for people that do it for me. You know, it helps you get through things. You know, especially Peter and I, because we, you know, like we encounter a lot of crazy stuff. You know. I mean, a lot of it.
I know.
And then we try to keep our houses clean. We try to keep ourselves clean. And I think that we're doing good by doing all this. But, you know, but it's pretty dicey out there, man. And then especially when this negative energy stuff gets a hold of you. And it seems like right now something, you're right, it's bad. And it's like on your heels. You know what I mean? Like, it's like it wants something from you. You know, so it's obviously clawing at you and doing all this shit. I would get rid of that mattress. I'd call Metro Mattress and get an unhaunted mattress, man. You know? You gotta put that one on Craigslist. Say, you know, mattress for sale, you know. It might growl at you.
Oh, my God. Somebody would say it was haunted mattress.
There are people that tell me they had, like, a haunted refrigerator, you know, or a haunted dresser. Like, you know, like when I had an antique store, definitely when stuff came and went, the whole mood of the store would change sometimes, you know. But and then you see shows like The Haunted Collector and people out there that are specifically looking for that. But I think that's more in tune with what I was saying earlier about one entity can be in that one source but control many different things or have its hands in over here and over here, like a conference call.
Uh-huh.
Because we've gotten that quite a few times now of where they weren't necessarily there. It's like an echo almost, you know. It's like they were there. They left a piece of themselves there. So they may not be that strong until they put more strength into it, you know, and like dividing energy of type of stuff, you know. I haven't had it all figured out yet, but I think that, you know, with all the information and all the investigations that we've done and, you know, your experiences and things like that, you start putting together a timeline of events and why things happen. And I think it just comes down to also humanistic stuff, manipulation, control, power. You know, a lot of it comes down to that. But the kids are coming through to you. I mean, that little girl in the diapers, she looked at you. That's contact, man. Did she look like right in your eyes?
Yeah, she looked right at me. But it was weird. It almost felt like she was fake also, like it was trying to pretend it was a little girl. That's really the impression I got. That just because the way she was moving and what she was, just didn't feel right.
We did this investigation up at up to the Erie Mansion, and there was this, you know, a serial killer lived there. So, you know, some stuff happened there. He killed a lot of people in that mansion, you know, kids too, all kinds of stuff. The guy was a psychopath. Anyway, we had this woman that worked for the guy that owns the mansion. She wants to come along and do the investigation with us. We're like, yeah, sure, you know, we're pretty relaxed about that stuff. And then we were in this summer bedroom that Eugenia's summer bedroom, the guy's mother, the serial killer's mom, and she did this little girl coming forward. But it didn't feel like a little girl. You know what I mean? And she was,
right.
like, reaching out, saying,
yeah.
little girl, come to me. Come sit with me on the bed. I'm like, you really can't assume that that's a little girl. Because, as we all know, that these entities, the bad ones, they're gonna represent anything. That's why we tell people not to use a Ouija board. Because they could be, hey, it's grandma. Or, hey, it's your Aunt Sally, you know, or, you know, whatever. And it's not,
right.
you know,
right.
because... I mean, like, it could be Aunt Sally, but it also could be something really bad. But one time, anyway,
when I see them, like, I've seen dead people before, and I know it's a dead person. Like, I know it. And
yeah.
then sometimes I'll see something that's like a person, like that little girl, and you know, or like the one that on Saturday that looked like my niece, and you know it's not your niece. You just know it. You know
yeah.
that's not a little girl. It's just you can feel the energy within it is different. It's wrong. There's something, there's like a mismatch that you can sense it.
It's trying to win you over, just like that night at the Erie Mansion. So this woman invites
yeah.
this thing home. We're telling her not to. Like, don't ever do that. Don't ever. She's inviting this thing home. So I'll tell you, within 24 hours, the very next day, she contacted us saying that her TV was going on and off by itself and channel switching. Then she went to the backyard. Her dog got spooked. I guess her dog was tied to a big chain. The chain goes over this woman's neck and breaks her collarbone. So we told her. And then check this out. We knew that there was a little girl in that mansion because we had gotten her at a recording. And then the serial killer said, leave that little girl alone. Like, we actually got an EVP that says that. We knew that girl. We went back there. The girl was still there. So whatever this woman invited home was not the girl. But also that Taylor house, we got that kid came through who got run over in the street. And we didn't even know that some kid got run over in the street. We were told after the fact, but the kid's name is Cahill. We went back there. This dude's like, you know, Cahill wants to go home with you. Cahill loves you. Take Cahill home.
Okay.
But we have all these on EVP. We have, I mean, you can hear it clear as day, Class A EVP of this entity that was trying to come home with us, that was trying to do that stuff. So, you know, we leave investigations and we surround ourselves with white light. We do what we do and shake things off. But, man, you're right, dude. There's those things are out there sometimes are just out there to manipulate, and then now all of a sudden you got this thing attached to you that's trying to manipulate you, but you know better, and it knows that you know better.
Right. It's yeah. scared. You brought up the dog that the woman said. You know, my dogs have been acting really weird the last week. And they in my bedroom, they keep acting like they're hearing something or seeing something. Like, all of a sudden, they'll jump up with their ears, and they run to go look in the corner of the room. And they keep looking over there, and they're looking up at the ceiling in the corner. And they keep looking. And my one dog, this was before the thing pushed me up. It was after the growling, but before it pushed in the mattress. A few nights before that, my dog literally just ran to the corner of my bed, looking in the corner of the room, like, what's over there? And then all of a sudden, the dog got completely freaked out and ran under the covers, like, with its tail under.
Wow.
And acted like that before. Like, got really scared.
Animals.
So there's something there. My dogs are feeling it, too.
Yeah, animals are very sensitive. You know, they're just like little kids, you know, really sensitive. But it's interesting that they showed you a little black girl with diapers with pigtails. And that's an interesting image because in their minds, that somehow would entice you to invite that girl. Hey, are you okay? Who are you? You know what I mean? And that type of thing. It's manipulation.
Right.
Because you know. You know when you run over. Kids don't feel like that. Like this, some evil Voldemort type of energy, man. You know, when you run to kid and child energy, it's like it feels confused, basically, and not any kind of ill intent. Some kind of scared, lost. You get that, You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, she was acting. I've seen one other child, but he was like about 12 years old, 12, 13, and he was actually killed. I think I've talked about him before.
We talked. I didn't know the kid, but I know his family. I know the story. But yeah, when you described what he looked like in his head, I knew exactly who that was. I didn't know who what the connection was, how he could have come into your midst, and then you explained that woman that would come by, that she was related, or directly related to him, you know, she knew him and that type of thing.
Yeah, it was her son's best friend. That died when he was young, because it happened like 10 years ago or 15 years ago or something.
And you said he was wearing a hoodie. You said that he had a hoodie on.
Yeah,
you know,
he was wearing a blue hoodie, yeah.
And his family said that. Yeah, they said that's what was his thing, but he actually got killed in the gym of a school because the partition was closing. And I guess the teacher had, you know, it was one of those mechanisms where you put a key in and you twist it, and then you're supposed to stand there and hold the key so you're physically looking at the door to make sure no one's coming through, because the door is really strong. It's on hydraulics, you know. And then I guess that the guy wrapped the chain around it to walk away so the door closed by itself, and the kid was trying to get through the door and got stuck and got crushed by the door.
Yeah, I saw, like, he had a dent in his head. That's what I saw.
Yeah.
And I think he was, like, 12, 13 years old, wearing a hoodie with a dent in his head, and he was eating something white, like Chiclets or something. And,
yeah.
But he was very calm. He was very calm. I knew he was a dead person, but he was just really, really calm. He was not, like, freaking out or worried, or he was just calm, and that's the thing that struck me with him. But yeah, this little girl was jumping up and down, and she was smiling at me, but I knew something was not right.
So she was like facing you, looking at you, smiling, trying to interact with you.
She was trying to get my attention. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
so did you play like you ignored her? You didn't try to talk to her at all or interact with her?
No, I told her to go away. I just said go away.
I want to get that on video, man. I want to get that on video. I want to see this. You know?
When we
come around, they get weird. You know, I think they pull back a lot of times.
Do you guys remember when you came the last time that you guys came, and you said, and you were in upstairs, and you were looking at that room and it had all that energy, and then remember I heard after you guys left, when I walked up the staircase, I heard like a growling. Remember?
Yeah. Yeah. We got a growling.
After you left. Upstairs.
We got a growling on the video, and I didn't know if it was your dog or not, so it was hard to tell. You know, like, there's just some sounds that it's just hard to tell, because there's other things. I mean, there's the three of us, two dogs, your mom was downstairs, so you gotta think of, like, the noise in the place. You know, if I'm listening to the information or Pete's going over his information, and you hear something, it's like, it's hard to tell, you know? I mean, sometimes it's plain as day, and then it's somebody's voice that's just not yours or anybody there, and you can tell what they're saying. But, you know, these days, I like really good evidence, you know what I mean? Like evidence that you can show anybody, and they got to say, oh, yeah, okay, that's what that is. You know, not like, oh, I'm not sure, that type of thing. But, I mean, from your apartment, oh, my God, dude. We got the best, the most detailed, and also interesting, because that camera that we captured those pictures with wasn't even like an infrared camera. A lot of like ghost hunters like swear up and down you need infrared, and I've been using infrared cameras for a long time. Now I use full spectrum cameras, all spectrums of light. So I just about leave things to chance. If they exist on a different level of light that, you know, beyond the levels that we can see. So that's why that infrared or UV comes in handy. But you know, it's like that camera that we used was a normal old hunting camera. But we did have a UV light in that room shining in that direction, you know? It's funny, though.
Okay.
People see the picture, and they're like, yeah, I kind of see something in the corner, you know, but I'm not sure what it is. I'm like, no, I'm talking about the woman in the middle of the room. And they're like, that's a ghost? And I'm like, yeah. And then Pete's putting that recorder down, and she's right there in his face, man. Like she's standing where that huge desk was. So she's actually standing somewhere where you can't even stand. And she was in his face. You could see her eyeball, like, right by his face. That's crazy, man.
Yeah, in the desk. Standing in the desk, yeah.
And you said that was your grandma.
So I like the one of my, well, there was that other photograph where you saw the person's shoulders, and there was
right.
like a parent's head, but you could see the shoulders, and then you could see the detail of the clothing, like the texture
right.
of the cloth.
Right.
That
it looked
one,
like a
I think it's like my grandma. It looked like a shirt she would wear, and you could see the texture, and that one blew me away. That really blew me away.
But the lady in the bedroom holding that box.
Yeah.
She had that rosewood box. You could actually see the
yeah.
carving of the box.
Oh, okay, I can't remember. I have that picture, though. I still have all the photos.
Yeah, I mean, that blows people away because they can't believe
yeah.
that is a ghost. I'm like, well, you see right through her, but she looked pasty-faced, had black hair, and it looked like she was wearing some kind of choir gown, you know? That was the one who was in front of me.
Yeah.
She had a box in her hand, and all this happened while the four of us, me, you, Pete, and your mom, were in the main living room, living area there. So all this was going on.
Yeah.
Then Pete went into your bedroom to put that recorder down to try to get some EVPs or whatever, and then he left. So when he did that, she was right there in his face.
I know. Yeah. And
how,
you know, it's not
how
a
cool
movie.
Is that?
Perfect, because he's standing in the desk, right in the middle of the desk.
He's got a lot of spirits following him around, man. But that's cool because he has a good time. You know, he goes out on the boat and, you know, like he's like action adventure, man. He's on a snowmobile. He's out there doing his thing. And I'm just shedding. I sit here in the laboratory.
Yeah,
what's that?
He's intense. I felt the energy around him the second he walked in my apartment. I'm like, oh, my gosh, you got things following you? I'm like,
Oh, man. All right, so we're going to have to end the show. We're going to go over, man. You know what, David? Thank you for coming on, and I think that we can probably come Saturday if you're going to be around.
Yeah, I'll be here. Yeah, that would be fine.
I'll check with Pete, but we were talking about hanging out Saturday and getting our dogs together anyway. So,
bring
but
Lorna.
I'll contact Lorna. I'll see
Lorna.
If you can
come. I want another cleansing.
Okay.
This evil thing gone.
All right, but I'll contact you like you know, maybe Thursday, something like that, and we'll set it up.
Yeah, I'll be around.
All right, dude.
Okay. Cool.
Hey, this is David. Thank you for coming on. This is Discovery Paranormal. This is Michael Angley. I mean, amazing discussion of a real life activity in someone's house and how it's affecting their life. And David's a great guy. And then we're always wanting to come back in. The stuff is going on. So, David, thanks for coming on, man.
Yeah, man. Thanks a lot for having me.
All right.
Take care. Take care, everybody out there.
This is Discovery Paranormal on United Public Radio Network, UPRN. New Orleans, 104. 107.5 New Orleans, 104.7 Fast Brisk. Yes. Good night, y'all. Happy Mardi Gras.
Get clear, man.
David, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.